Blog Talk Radio.
Of big events in the world of sports, mainly Washington Capitals New York Rangers Game 7 coming up tonight. We will talk with Seth Rothman from Madison Square Garden momentarily, coming up in about 5 minutes on that game. We've also got the continuation of the National Basketball Association playoffs tonight. Whoops, hit the wrong button. Tonight features two games. We've got the Wizards and the Hawks in a series that has seen a bunch of close games, including the Paul Pierce buzzer beater. This is game five of that series. Series tied at 2. Another game five in Golden State between Golden State and Memphis, with that series also tied at 2 in a series that has seen the Warriors look absolutely unstoppable at times, and then problematic to compete with Memphis other times. It's been a very topsy-turvy series in that regard. Obviously, when you talk to me, you're going to talk about golf and what happened at the Players when Ricky Fowler went 6-under over his last 6 in regulation, and 8-under over his last 10 total to win the Players in the playoff over Sergio and Kevin Kisner. And look, what Ricky did, and we've talked about it time and time and time and time and time again on this radio program, is that he's won off the course. Now he needs to win on the course. And he finally did that last week by finally hitting clutch shots at the right moment. And I picked him on RotoWire. I picked him in Ryan Ballinger last week because I thought that I saw enough at the match play that he could compete and could win this week. He hit one bad shot at the worst possible time, which was in his round of 16 match. He hit a three-wood way right on 18 into the one place on 18 where you can't miss it. And he overcame that. He didn't do any of that, obviously, last week, and came from behind, stormed back, and really played solid golf over that stretch when he had to, and took advantage of some very difficult holes and made the birdie, three consecutive birdies at 17, which is next to unheard of, and then hit the clutch shots when he had to on 16 and 18 in regulation, getting the nice read from Derek Fassauer in regulation, and obviously hitting the shots again on 17 in the second hole of the aggregate and then in the sudden death to overcome Kevin Kisner. And kudos to Kiz, who continues to hit clutch shots in clutch moments. He did it at Harbortown, the RBC Heritage, when he lost to Jim Furyk, and he did it again here. He stood with the big boys, and that's always something to commend. It's always something that you should be grateful for and use and think of as a positive and not a negative. What he's done over this stretch is really solidified himself as somebody who I think can make the next step sooner than some other journeyman players can make the next step, just because of how well he hung around against guys like Sergio and Rory McIlroy. It was a very impressive performance and really showed how well and how far he's come as a player and matured from his days in the web.com tour to be able to do that. And obviously for Ricky Fowler, he just stepped up and did it. And those changes with Butch Harmon, the changes he's worked on, really paid off. And he worked hard at them, and he made it work. And that is something to be very, very proud of in terms of how he was able to convert all that practice and all the good shots he's hit when he hasn't backed it up with a good shot, and then backed it up, joined them together, and turns out a champion, and there's nothing bad you can say about Ricky Fowler after winning the Players, and now he shoots for his first major championship win, the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay.
And we are joined by InsideHockey.com's Ranger reporter Seth Rothman from inside Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. Good afternoon, Seth.
Jeremy, how's everything, my friend?
I'm good. All right, let's go backwards here. When you covered Game 5, did you think that they had a chance? Did you think they could repeat what they did last year? And how surprising have these last two games been to you?
No, I thought they had a chance. I mean, listen, when you do what this group did last year and it's many of the same players, you know, you get that expectation that they're never dead until they're actually dead. So did I think it was a remote chance we'd see a Game 7? I think remote is fair. Did I think the series was over? Absolutely not. In fact, once they won Game 5, there were a lot of people in the press room, myself included in that, that were saying to everybody else in the room, we'll see you Wednesday night, because it just seemed once they won Game 5. You know, I thought Game 5 in a situation like the Rangers are in, Game 5 is kind of the hardest one to get. Once you get Game 5, you're in pretty good shape in terms of trying to shape this thing. And, you know, all you want to do is get it to a Game 7. And obviously tonight you're going to take your chances.
What was the Game 5 experience like? Because that game was totally one-sided, and then the Rangers came back at the very end and really turned the tide.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Rangers dominated that game, as you kind of had a feeling they probably would. But Braden Holtby was fantastic. And then all of a sudden, you know, you kind of had that feeling, will it ever happen? Will they ever get that goal, or will they be in a situation where they're not going to be able to? Obviously, they did. You know, it was funny. I thought the crowd's reaction when they tied the game in Game 5 wasn't so much excitement as it was relief. You know, thank God we finally did it. The overtime goal, it was pretty loud in this building. And again, it just gave you the sense that the tide was beginning to change. Maybe Holtby wasn't as sharp. Maybe the Rangers were starting to find a way past him. And I think it really does set up a really fascinating game tonight.
Game 6 was interesting because I tuned in for the last 9 minutes of Game 6, and I'm not sure I've seen a more one-sided hockey game stretch all year than those last 9 minutes of Game 6 when the Rangers could not clear the puck out of their own zone. And what Henrik Lundqvist did, you know, sometimes you hear athletes say, I can't wait for Game 7, I can't wait for the next game. I think he wants Game 7 as far away as possible. He must have been exhausted.
He was. He said he began his post-game press conference by saying, I am tired right now, and with good reason. If you only watched the final 9 minutes of that game, Jeremy, you did not even see a shot attempt by the New York Rangers. In fact, the final 14 minutes and 56 seconds of that game, the Rangers had zero shot attempts. The Capitals had 32. So it was a tremendous surge in that third period. But again, when you're the Rangers and you have Henrik Lundqvist in net, when you're up 4-1, you know they're not getting four more goals. They're not scoring five goals on Henrik Lundqvist. That is just something you know. You viscerally understand that is not happening. And I think, you know, in the backs of their minds, they thought this game is over. The Capitals surged a little bit. The Rangers could not answer. Listen, Henrik Lundqvist in these elimination games, 13-3 in his last 16 elimination games, 9-0 in his last 9 elimination games at MSG, 5-0 in his last 5 games, 7 at MSG with a goals against of under 1. He's allowed a total of 4 goals in those 5 games and never more than 1 goal in any one game out of those last 5 games, 7. So Henrik Lundqvist and Coach Elaine Vigneault said it. I think Tanner Glass said it too. Henrik Lundqvist is a big game goaltender, and this would probably qualify as a big game tonight.
Let's talk about it. This series has had its moments where the Rangers have looked dominant, had its moments where the Capitals have looked dominant, had its moments where it seemed like nobody can, you know, get some sort of a lead of any significant margin. How many consecutive one-goal games is this now for the Rangers?
They've played 13 consecutive one-goal games, the longest ever postseason streak in NHL history.
All right, first question. Do you think that streak continues tonight?
I will continue to say it will continue until it doesn't. You know, it was actually funny. When the Rangers went up 4-1, one of the reporters tweeted, well, it looks like that streak is going to die tonight. And then within 3 minutes, the Capitals have made it a one-goal game. So, I have no reason to believe that streak is ending anytime soon. But again, that's the way the playoffs are. And the Rangers, for as high-scoring a team as they were in the regular season, and they had the third most goals scored per game in the NHL, these are the playoffs, and you win playoff games 2-1, and that is why the Rangers are so good this time of the season, because they've got the best goalie maybe in the entire league. They've certainly got the best goalie remaining in the Stanley Cup playoffs now that Carey Price is you know, gone. And you win games in the playoffs on the back of your goaltender, and the Rangers have the best goalie out there. So, you know, it allows you to play that defensive, grinded-out style because you know, listen, the other team's not getting more than two goals. If we score three, we win. The Rangers, in fact, when they score four goals, I think have won, you know, like 120 of their last 121 games. It's somewhere in there. I'd have to go look it up. But, you know, the Rangers know, listen, they're not going to give up a lot of goals, so they could afford to kind of be careful and pick and choose their spots, and that's exactly what they do.
Matt Zuccarello, the Rangers lost him to what I believe was an upper body injury, correct?
It is officially an upper body injury.
Yes, and he's out indefinitely, and in hockey terms that could mean, you know, 2 days or 2 months. How do you think they've recovered how do you think they've adjusted from not having him, and what more do they need to do as they continue to not have him?
Well, listen, if they win, they're fine. If they lose, then that's going to be a reason why. I don't think they've adjusted very well without him. I think he is, you know, their number one winger. He is their top winger. They need him. They need the depth that he gives them. So the Rangers have not been as good of a team without him. Now, they've won their last two games. They scored four goals in their last game, so they were good enough without him. But the Rangers have not been the same team without him. His creativity and his vision with the puck and without the puck is something in the playoffs that is a very underrated skill, and it's something he provides that a lot of other guys, and especially this time of year, have trouble with. So they've really, really missed him. They've missed his spark. They've missed his energy on the ice. It's unclear when he's going to return. It's a suspected concussion. Rangers are not really saying. He's been around the team. He was at Game 5. He was in Washington for Game 6. He was at the practice rink yesterday. I did not see him this morning at their optional morning skate. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. I mean, they would certainly like to get him back here sooner rather than later. He's obviously out for tonight's game, and we'll see where it goes after that.
What's your read on tonight? Are these guys energized? Are they still looking tired? Did they take it easy this morning trying to store up energy? What was your read on them?
Well, the Rangers, after Sunday night's game, they took Monday off. They practiced on Tuesday, which would be yesterday. And this morning they had an optional skate. Only the guys not playing tonight skated. So they had three skaters and Cam Talbot on the ice. They were available in the Ranger locker room earlier today, and they were pretty confident. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of quiet confidence. The Capitals have been talking a lot of talk. The Rangers have not needed to. They felt like, you know, they don't need to talk. They can let their actions speak for themselves. But this is a group that certainly believes they can do this again. No team in the history of the NHL has come back from a 3-1 deficit in back-to-back seasons. The Rangers are trying to become the first team in league history to ever do so.
Interesting. Talking with Seth Rothman here from InsideHockey.com. Let's jump off of the Rangers just for a second. Your read on the broader NHL playoffs as they've continued here?
Yeah, they've been interesting. I think Anaheim has surprised me a little bit. I was not terribly impressed with them when I saw them back in March. I think their goaltending situation is a little bit iffy. Chicago being in the conference finals again, ho-hum. You know, good for Tampa. I mean, Tampa Bay did an incredible job in the offseason. They obviously made that St. Louis for Callahan trade. They brought in Brian Boyle. They brought in Anton Stroman. They have a team that is probably the deepest team in the Eastern Conference right now. They deserve to be in the conference final. I think if it's Rangers, I think no matter which team they play, I think the Lightning might be the favorites. They are just so deep, 1-12 on forward and 1-6D. The Rangers might have a bit of a better D, but the concern with the Tampa Bay Lightning is going to be, can Ben Bishop win them a conference final? He's been a little bit hit or miss. If he can play the way that he needs to play, I think the Lightning might be favorites in the Eastern Conference Finals, no matter which of these two teams moves on here tonight at MSG.
Mm. Talking to Seth Rothman here from InsideHockey.com. Hockey fans love their Game 7s. They actually sit in the seats. They don't, you know, sit out in clubs or in the aisles and stuff. Is the Chase Bridge ready for the movement and the shaking and the cheering that would come with a positive Rangers performance?
The Chase Bridge, I hope, is ready. I don't think I am ready. I think I am already calling mom and dad and saying, listen, I love you. I might not make it tonight. It's going to be a fun atmosphere tonight. It always is for one of these games. It's a very tense atmosphere, but I think, you know, the crowd's going to be fun, especially early on. The Rangers have gotten off to some quick starts in this series so far. I think if you see the Rangers score first, that's going to be a really key aspect for them. We always talk about the quick start and scoring first. But the way this series has been played, it's going to be very difficult for a team to make a comeback because of how defensively minded this series has been. Once one of these two teams gets that 1-0 lead, you're going to see a lot of clamp down, drag it out, smash mouth hockey.
That's what I was about to ask you about next, which is these two teams basically know how to goaltend. They know how to defend. This has become, you can do a lot of things because you've got two goaltenders that have really shut things down for the most part back there. And the reason I asked you about their tiredness and their energy is that, you know, look at Henrik Lundqvist. He's been under distress, basically, for very long stretches in a lot of these games. Do you think that a key for the Rangers is to keep the puck out of their own zone as much as possible just to not wear down Henrik Lundqvist, or is stuff like that just inevitable because of the style of how these games have gone against the Capitals?
Well, I mean, listen, the Capitals have a lot of talent. Their top two lines are very good. Of course you don't want the other team to score. I mean, of course you don't want the other team to be in your own end. I think it's inevitable that it's going to happen. I think it's inevitable there's going to be some stretches in this game where they do struggle with that a little bit. But listen, you know, the Capitals have done a really good job in this series, and what's impressed me about them is the Rangers' team speed in their regular season meetings. The Capitals could not catch up to them, and what Washington has been able to do so well, you know, the referees have been letting a lot of things go, and the Caps have been taking advantage. The Capitals have been legally, illegally slowing the Rangers down. And again, it's all fair game if the referees don't make the call, but the referees have been letting things go. The Capitals have been taking advantage of that, and they've really been slowing the Rangers down. You know, you got to remember, the Rangers were one of the top offensive teams in the NHL this season, and one of the reasons they were was because of how fast they were. Other, you know, opponents could not catch them. Well, opponents have been catching them in these playoffs so far, and so I think, you know, what you want to see if the Rangers do is see if they can get those stretch passes to work and see if they can break down that Washington trap.
Two things. How do you think Alex Ovechkin will play tonight? He's underperformed in this series. And number two, you talked about the officiating. Obviously, there was that controversial call where the puck deflected out of play off the glass, and that was a bad call late in Game 6. How important are the officials tonight for how this game may be, especially if it's another one-goal game?
Well, for the first thing on Ovechkin, you know, in the first two games of this series, Ovechkin was unbelievable, and it looked like he was going to carry the team on his back. Ovechkin made that kind of guarantee where he said, listen, we are going to win game, you know, 7, which puts all the pressure squarely on his shoulders. His team has lost a 3-1 deficit. His team has a horrible history with game 7s, I think 4-9 all time. I think Ovechkin is something like 3-5 all time in a game 7. So he puts all the pressure on himself. It's up to him to perform. I think Ovechkin is going to be shot out of a cannon tonight. I expect him to have, you know, a really impactful performance. Does he score? That's not entirely up to him, but I think he will be very good. As for the officiating, You know, you did have that delay of game call that was called. You also, on the Rangers' third goal, the Rick Nash goal, the Rangers should have been called for icing on that play. They were not, and they scored about 10 seconds later. So, frankly, the officiating in the NHL all season long and in these playoffs, it's been lousy. I think a lot of people around the league would probably tell you that. The officiating has not been all that good, and I think you saw it affect Game 6. The Rangers got their third goal, which really changed the course of that game. They got that third goal on a goal that just should not have counted, and then, of course, that delay of game penalty at the end that nearly cost them as well. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think it was Chimera who was talking that, you know, earlier today that he hopes there are no penalties called in this game, and I think that's a mindset that a lot of people have. When it's a Game 7, you don't want any penalties. Let them play. Let the boys battle it out. I'd let the referees kind of take a back seat. Now, some things have to be called at times, and you kind of have that line. But frankly, you know, I think we're going to see tonight a game that is officiated lightly. You normally will see only one, maybe two penalties called on each team for the entire course of the game. And frankly, I think that's good. I don't mind that.
Just as a sidebar here, as somebody who doesn't watch a lot of hockey, what can be reviewed and what can't be reviewed?
Goals can be reviewed. Goal, no goal can be reviewed, and that's it. That's the only video review that can be used. Now, the referees can talk about things. They can talk all they want, but the only official video review is for goal, no goal.
I think that might be changed in the offseason after some of the things that have happened this season in the playoffs.
I think sports in general are moving towards more video review. I don't know where the NHL is going to go. Certainly a call like delay of game is something that can easily be a video review. The question is, how do you do it? I'm sure it's something that they're going to look at, whether they actually do anything about it. You know, the NHL is very slow to react to things like that, so I don't know that we'll see a change. But, you know, certainly it's a possibility.
Now time for the Jeremy question, because, as you know, I like asking things that have no bearing on anything else. Matt Harvey is on the mound for the Mets tonight. Matt Harvey is a diehard Ranger fan. Do you think deep down inside Matt Harvey wants to be pitching tonight, or would he rather be there?
You know, it's a good question, because Harvey was so adamant on getting back onto the mound, but he's such a big Ranger fan. I'm sure he will be sneaking back into the clubhouse trying to see if he can find any information in between innings.
And he's somebody who has been there a lot, hasn't he?
Yes. Yes, he's here frequently. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stars here tonight as well. There's a lot of big names that wear Ranger blue when they're at home here.
I had to just ask you something completely off topic. So that's what I chose to ask, because, as Seth said, he is literally there all the time. Any thoughts on the Players' Championship, or am I not getting anything out of you golf related?
What's the Players' Championship?
Okay, that's clearly all I'm getting at is Seth Rothman. Seth Rothman, how many Game 7s have you covered now?
I think this is my third one. I covered both in 2012. I was not there last year for the Flyers, so I think this is my third one. So they are a lot of fun to cover. You know, it's funny, hockey players talk about in the Stanley Cup playoffs, they get taken out of their comfort zone. I kind of feel the same way about covering a Game 7. There's just so much going on, but it's a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to tonight's game.
Who's the anthem singer tonight? Because if it's the wrong anthem singer, I think Ranger fans may have a bad feeling off the bat if they don't like who the anthem singer is.
It is not who Ranger fans hope it is.
Okay. Well, maybe the Stanley Cup Finals will get that person back in the building. Seth Rothman, InsideHockey.com, thanks so much for coming on Teeing It Up.
My pleasure, Jeremy. Take care, buddy.
We thank Seth Rothman for coming on Teeing It Up, and that is Teeing It Up for today. Thank you for listening on Blog Talk Radio and the Golf News Net Radio Network. We will see you back here next week on Monday, another edition of the one, the only, the great Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.